Unless you've been living under a rock, it's been impossible to miss the adoration lavished on Stephenie Meyer's teen vampire series, Twilight. The fans are mostly teenage girls, but sometimes older women as well, who love the books for their riveting tale of Bella, the human girl, and Edward, her vampire suitor.
My family, we're different from others of our kind. We only hunt animals. We learn to control our thirst. But it's you, your scent. It's like a drug to me. You're like my own personal brand of heroin.
Why did you hate me so much when we met?
I did. Only for making me want you so badly. I still don't know if I can control myself.
A clip from the movie Twilight. Salon's literary critic Laura Miller isn't so thrilled with the books or their popularity with young women. She told Anne Strangechamps that the books present a fantasy that's a little too appealing.
I think that it offers women, and especially young women, but not necessarily young women, a kind of a fantasy of this supernaturally strong, perfect, powerful, rich male who will cherish and protect them through all of the kind of things that can happen to you in life, but who will have an ability to protect them that is so much in excess of any actual man that it's like a superpowered throwback to the old idea of what it is to be a woman, which is to be, you know, sort of under the wing of a man, to be protected and cared for and sort of sheltered as you sort of move through all of the stages of life. And I think that it's pretty hard to find that situation anymore, if it ever was a very real situation. And one of the reasons why you see it coming in the form of this vampire is that, to a certain degree, Prince Charming is something that women really know by now as a mythological creature. And so in order to sort of give a nod to the fact that it is really a pure fantasy, it comes in the form of this supernatural creature who doesn't, you know, who we all know doesn't really exist. Mm.
Are you saying that this is basically a throwback to an old-fashioned romance underneath modern fantasy veneer? That
yes, maybe, absolutely.
Maybe underneath the yes. vampire or the werewolf, it's just Kathy and Heathcliff or Jane and Mr. Rochester all over again?
Yeah, I mean, although, you know, Kathy and Heathcliff and Jane and Mr. Rochester had complex relationships. And, you know, the other thing about Twilight is it's very, very simple. The heroine has almost nothing to recommend her. Well, really, she has nothing to recommend her. She's a
let's not mince words.
Yeah. She is a person of almost no personality. And her boyfriend isn't a whole lot better. I mean, from a literary point of view, they're completely uninteresting as characters, which is not something I would ever say about Kathy and Heathcliff or Jane Eyre and Mr. Rochester. They're sort of stripped down to the basics of the romantic heroine and hero. She is, you know, sort of pretty and kind of vulnerable and inexperienced. And he is older, a lot older, although he still looks young and beautiful. And he's very rich and he's super strong and he's super fast. And, you know, he can do everything. You know, he's a classical musician. He's a really good driver. He has like 4 hot cars. You know, he's completely unrealistic. But underneath it all, I mean, or not even underneath it all, really, he's just an exaggerated form of the romantic hero who was always older and more worldly and more experienced than the heroine, and who is sort of won over by some quality of hers that of wonderfulness that often is really hard for any person outside of the hero to see. I mean, it's very hard to see why Bella appeals to him. You know, she's not especially smart or clever or funny or original, even though he claims that she is.
Well, Stephenie Meyer, the author, has said that she deliberately made Bella a normal girl. So she doesn't go to a fancy private school. She's not a martial yeah. arts expert in her spare time.
Yeah.
She doesn't have secret wizard powers. She's not the long-lost heir to a magical kingdom. She's just normal. Is that part of her appeal?
Well, I think that my impression is, and from the friends I've talked to who have teenage girls, teenage daughters, you know, the readers don't really care very much about her. It's not so much about looking at her and saying, oh, that's me. I understand her. She has my inner life, which is how maybe you might feel about someone like Jane Eyre, who has a very strong personality despite her mousy exterior. Bella is very, very bland. She's like a blank screen that the reader can project herself onto. But I don't think that the readers have any particular fondness for her. What they care about is Edward and his sort of extended family of beautiful, glamorous vampire relatives. The fact that he's a blood-sucking undead vampire is sort of immaterial to his Prince Charmingness. He comes and he chooses her and he makes her into a princess. Just by choosing her. It's not something that she really has to earn by anything that she does or is. It's just by being chosen by him. So, yes, I think it's a very soothing fantasy because the man is completely immune to the kinds of insecurities and stresses that are leveled against not just teenage boys, but just any sort of ordinary human man.
Except at the same time, I wonder whether there isn't something really positive about this series for girls who today, teenage girls are, you said it's not real, but they've got more than enough reality in their lives. You know, they've got Facebook and guys who are wanting to have oral sex with them from eighth grade on, and every possible form of sexual activity can be seen online or on TV. Maybe it's a really good thing for them to have a book that's just about pure romance.
Well, you know, to say that something is just a fantasy is not to say that it's a bad thing. I mean, the thing about fantasy is not that it's wrong, even if the things that we fantasize about are things that we would never actually want to have happen to us. The issue with fantasy is not that to have fantasy is bad. It's to know the difference between fantasy and reality. Now, if you decided that you could never really be happy unless you had a man who was the equivalent of Edward, then you would be in trouble. And I think that's been an issue with the culture of romance and romantic love for centuries, that it's very easy for women to allow themselves to be persuaded that this is something that they should expect from life, you know, that life is going to be like a fairy tale. That's why we say it's a fairy tale, because we're reminding ourselves that although we really enjoy this fantasy and it is a nice escape, if we start to expect our lives to be like our fantasies, then we are setting ourselves up for a lot of suffering. The crucial thing is not to not have fantasies or to have a certain kind of fantasy. The crucial thing is to know the difference between fantasy and real life.
You're starting to make me feel sorry for all those teenage boys out there who are not super strong, super fast, 104 years old, and keep Maseratis in the garage.
Yeah, I think that's the real question is, you know, we could worry that all these teenage girls are reading this book with this heroine who's kind of just so, you know, to an adult, just such a dull sort of person. Or you could worry that, you know, the boyfriend, as many of the sort of librarians and teachers that I've corresponded with since I wrote about these books, they're worried that Edward is kind of a creepy stalker, you know, like he's so protective, he won't let Bella do anything. He comes and watches her while she's asleep and she doesn't know. I mean, he's always like kind of watching her and telling her what to do and kind of engineering her life, you know. He's telling her that she has to go to college and, you know, he kind of sets it up so that she can get into an Ivy League college if she wants. I mean, in a certain way, you are so right. You know, he is alleviating all of the anxieties that a teenage girl is likely to have, that she has to be smart because Bella's not good in school, that she has to be beautiful, she's not especially pretty, that she has to be good at anything. You know, he just loves her and he's going to give her everything she wants materially and emotionally, just because he loves her. And so all of the kind of pressures that a teenage girl might feel to be an exceptional person is removed. And, you know, no wonder that that feels like such a cozy, wonderful place to be. But the real question is, do those teenage girls then transfer those desires to the actual boys and men when they get older in their lives. And I don't think we really know that. I mean, maybe they just read it and they go, oh, this is just, you know, this is just a fun thing, a fantasy that I have. But I know that, you know, in my actual life, I'm never going to have a relationship like this. And that even if I had it, it would probably be insufferable because he's so controlling. I think that's what a lot of people are worried about, is whether they will be able to make that separation or not.
Laura Miller is a literary critic at Salon.com and the author of The Magician's Book. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.